Hi everyone. Welcome to part number 24 of the Our Covenant God study. Firstly, last week's homework. In the Now Ask Yourself section, number 1, were Noah and his family baptized or immersed into the ark or into the flood waters? They were baptized or immersed into the ark. Now, number 2, was the rest of humanity baptized or immersed into the ark or into the floodwaters? The rest of humanity was baptized into the floodwaters. We know how that ended up for them. Now, homework question number 1. Using chiasms, what do we find to be the center or focal point of the flood? God filled his mind with thoughts of Noah. God remembered Noah. That is the most important point of the whole flood story. Homework question number 2. Using the framing technique, what are the terms of the Noah covenant? That is, what has God promised everyone, even those who reject Jesus? And what must people do in return? God has promised all mankind that he will never again destroy the whole earth with water. That is his promise. What must people do in return? Nothing. It's completely unconditional. Homework question number 3. In Noah's covenant, the earth and covenant are repeated 7 times. Knowing that 7 means completion or maturity or perfection, what do you think that means? It means nothing else can be added to this covenant. It is complete. The covenant is not just with God and people. It is with God and the whole earth. All of creation. John 3:16 says, God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not that God so loved people. It's God so loved the whole world. Jesus' mission was ultimately to save the whole of creation, not only people. Homework question number 4. Imagine that you were in that ark with Noah. You had never seen rain your whole life until the day that the world as you knew it was destroyed. You bob along aimlessly in an ark on the surface of a water-covered earth for over a year. Then one day you step out onto dry land on shaky legs. What a relief. You feel the warm sun on your back and you want to hug the ground itself. You touch everything, you smell all the flowers, you eat the fresh fruit off the trees. It feels like heaven on earth. But then you hear the rumble of thunder and lightning splits the night sky wide open as raindrops splash onto your back. What emotion would you feel, and what does that tell you about God's gift of the rainbow? I would feel fear. Tremendous fear the next time I saw rain, and probably many times after that too. However, the rainbow would then remind me of God's covenant and therefore take away the fear from my heart. So God gave us the rainbow to remove the fear, to give us a promise and to remove the fear. That's the sort of God we serve. And now for today's lesson. Today is our last lesson on Noah. We may have to split it into 2 parts, though, and finish it next week. We're going to look at the topic of blessing, and we're also going to confront some controversial issues. In the story of Noah, we have God blessing Noah and his sons. We also have Noah blessing God, Shem, and Japheth. And we also have Noah cursing his grandson, that's Canaan, He is Ham's son. Now, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We don't know when they were all born. In fact, some Bible teachers believe that they were triplets. It seems that Japheth was the oldest and was born when Noah was 500 years old, while Shem was possibly the youngest. Shem is usually named first, however, because it is from his bloodline that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the Israelites, and most importantly, Jesus came. All three of Noah's sons were married by the time of the flood. Everyone alive on this earth today descends from these three couples. From a genetic point of view, Noah and his family certainly needed to possess the genetic makeup to produce all the different physical characteristics that we see in people today. In order for them to produce descendants with light and dark extremes of skin colors, they were probably light brown. An excellent book to read that deals with this and with the subject of racism from a biblical perspective is called One Blood, The Biblical Answer to Racism, and it is written by Ham, Weiland, and Batten. Now, as we read the Bible, we realize that there were no divisions of people into different people groups until after the flood, when God confused the languages of the people at the Tower of Babel. And even then, the divisions were not made according to physical appearance, but by language. They scattered all over the earth in groups with those who spoke their language. Bible teachers seem to agree that Caucasian or white people have descended from Japheth, while dark-skinned people descended from Ham. Middle Easterners, thus, descended from Shem. But we really don't know any of that for sure. The only thing that we know for 100% sure is that the Semitic people descended from Shem, because that's the bloodline of Jesus. The different racial groupings could only have appeared a while after the Tower of Babel, because only then would the gene pool be restricted enough to produce specific so-called racial characteristics. The Bible's attitude towards racism is clear. In Acts 17, verse 26, Stephen stated that every nation of men came from one blood. In Galatians 3, verse 28, Paul said that there are no differences between people, because if you're in Christ, you are one. We all come from one, that is Adam. And no matter our physical or cultural differences, because of the last Adam, that is Jesus, we are made one again. I heard Bishop T.D. Jakes share one Sunday at church about his first book. It was called Shades of Grey, and it was about racism. He had already completed 14 chapters of his book when he visited South Africa for the very first time. I was there. I was privileged to hear him preach in Johannesburg in South Africa. When he returned to the USA, he destroyed his manuscripts. Shades of Grey was never published. He explained that South Africa showed him that he was looking at the subject of racism through American eyes, because he thought that racism was about white against black and black against white. When he went to Africa, he saw that it was a far more complex matter, because he saw Zulu against Xhosa and Venda against Sotho. Each tribal group had enemies, black against black. Bishop Jakes was faced with the reality that racism boils down to how it all started from the beginning. Cain against Abel, brother against brother. That is all racism is, brother against brother. As a white South African, I was told that black people have no souls. That is how my own family justified racism. I grew up during apartheid, which was a racist government system of segregation where white people dominated black people. When I was 16 years old, I started to work with underprivileged black children from a township. Now, a township is a segregated living area for black people in South Africa. And this was called Alexandra Township. Those children were the most beautiful children, and I believe that they helped me grow as a person far more than I was ever able to help them. I could tell you stories of heartbreaking letters I got from one child in particular, asking me, why does God hate me so much? Because if he loved me, then he would have given me a white skin like yours. Today she has AIDS.